Let's take a trip down memory lane with Niagara County's Great History Show. Now, here's your host, Norm Palmer.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show this morning. A sunshine-filled morning in Western New York. And in the studio with me, the executive director of the Niagara County History Center, Melissa Dunlap, and a very special guest, the chair of the Lockport Locks Heritage District, and that is David Kenyon. Good morning, folks.
Did you hear us?
We have you loud and clear.
Oh, okay.
Adjusting all the equipment as that is not thunder, folks. We are just getting prepared and ready to roll on the History Show this morning. So what is happening at the History Center? I would imagine a ton of, as George Carlin would say, stuff.
Way too much. On Sunday, September 15th, we're having Cemetery Tales at the Cold Spring Cemetery. It's at 1 o'clock. And it's $10, and we prefer that people bring cash because there's no way to use a credit card. And there are going to be five different characters, and you have a tour around the cemetery and listen to the different characters. So you wear comfortable shoes, and you can bring a little stool to sit on if that would make you comfortable. I know that some of the characters are going to be Dr. Skinner. And that's Charlie Begley, and we know Charlie always does a wonderful job. Pat Kibler-Freeze, who has retired from our staff, is going to be Aunt Edna Smith, and she was the wife of Dr. Isaac Smith, and he was the first doctor that worked on the Erie Canal. So she is going to talk about her life as a Quaker and as her husband's nurse. We have Laura Moss Bacon. Or it's more Laura Bacon Moss. I never can remember which. And she lived in the house that's now the YWCA. And she's going to tell about her life. And then there are two others. So I don't know if I have them in here or not. But anyway, it's really a really nice tour. It's relaxed. Oh, Schuller is one of them, James Schuller. And he had the quarry. And the stone from his quarry built the drywall that's around Cold Spring Cemetery, right on Cold Springs Road. So if you are interested, you just show up at 1 o'clock. You come down Cold Springs Road and turn right into the entrance where the White House is. And we will direct you from there. So let's see.
And I would add, probably wear comfortable shoes because this is a walking tour, correct?
Yes, it is. You have to wear comfortable shoes, and you can wear... you know, take a little stool or a little chair if you want to sit down while the people are talking. Their presentations are about 15 minutes each. And so there is some walking. Unless it's a downpour, if it's just a light drizzle, we do continue on. If it is really pouring, then probably it will be canceled. On September 17th at 5:30, we will be doing our first family night for the fall. And it's followed the drinking gourd, and it's going to talk about the Underground Railroad houses in Niagara County. We're going to make a map of the sites of the Underground Railroad houses, and the way the family night works is we have pizza by donation from 5:30 to 6, then the presentation is from 6 to 6:30, and then we make the craft, and everything is done between 7 and 7:15 because we know that children have to be home to get ready for bed for school. So we do need reservations for that, and you have to call 434-7433, and we need the reservations so that we can determine how much pizza to buy. So that's, you know, our big criteria for that. And that is free. So, you know, other than if you eat pizza and you put in a dollar for the pizza, but otherwise the program is free. On Thursday, September 26th, Ray Weigel is going to do a program on the International Bridges of Niagara County. He's a very good researcher, and it's going to be, it's unusual to have three international bridges in one county. I think we are the only place in the country that does, possibly at Detroit. I know there's at least two at Detroit, but to have three is an unusual issue. So that's Thursday, September 26th, and it's at 2 p.m. So it's in the afternoon. You don't have to worry about driving in the dark or anything like that. If you are interested in more information, you can call 434-7433. On October 5th, we're having our Oktoberfest. And we have the Frankfurters, and they are wonderful. I don't know if you've ever heard them play, but they're a really great German band. They're the best of the worst. And then Donna Eich does the food, and she does German food for this event. It's going to be held at the fairgrounds, and that starts at 6 and ends at 9:30, and the band is playing almost the entire time. We have a basket raffle, and it's just a lot of fun. So if you're interested in that, you can call the museum, 434-7433, and we have tickets for that. I'm going to cough, though. Excuse me. This is allergy time for me. And the next thing we have is a trip to the Seneca Museum on October 19th. We're taking a fall bus trip. It leaves at 9:45 in the morning. Excuse me. And we are going to have lunch at Holiday Valley in Ellicottville. They actually have 5 restaurants in there, and we are having lunch at one of the restaurants. It'll be a buffet. From there, we're going to Salamanca. We're going to spend a couple hours at the Seneca Museum, and they have a brand-new building, a brand-new section in the museum, and they're going to give us a tour. We're going to get to see all the exhibits. We're going to go in the gift shop. So if you are interested in that, you could call for reservations, and that's 434-7433. That trip is basically from 10 to 6. You have to be there by 9:45. So I guess that's it for the moment. We did have Dr. Rosati come and speak last Saturday, and we had a huge crowd. He did a wonderful job, and he spoke about Simon Steele. And a lot of people came because they either had relatives that worked there or they had worked there. And he does have his book, Man of Steel. I'm waiting for some more copies, but that was really a great program. Okay.
All right, so now we can move over to Mr. David Kenyon, who I imagine will talk a little bit about the locks. In fact, when he walked in and we greeted each other, he asked me if I had been down to see the new locks yet, and I said no, because I was waiting until I saw something in the paper or heard something that they were completed and ready to go. And so, David, you're on.
Thank you, Norm. Well, it's a really exciting time in the Lockport Locks District. We just on Monday received the two
new wooden lock gates that are being installed right now between lock 69 and lock 68. So when completed, that will give us 3 operational locks out of the Erie Canal flight of 5 locks. And of course, our flight of 5 locks date back to the mid 19th century. We're talking the time frame being roughly 1842, when those enlarged Erie Canal locks first went into operation. They went out of operation approximately in 1922, after the barge canal had been constructed and they were no longer needed because of the availability of the two large barge canal locks, 34 and 35. So eventually in 1922, those wooden lock gates were taken off of the flight of 5. And there were concrete weirs or dams, as we refer to them, that were installed to break the waterfall coming through the old flight of 5 locks. And it simply became a diversion way of making sure that the water level was maintained properly in the upper basin above the locks and the lower basin. Actually, all the way to Rochester, our lock tenders maintain that water level. But we were fortunate that we started our effort actually back in 2003 to put together a campaign to raise the funds. We're now nearing completion of the Phase 2 project of rehabilitating Lock 68. So Lock 68, along with Locks 69 and 70, will have been rehabilitated, and we will be celebrating in grand fashion the completion of this Phase 2 project at Locktoberfest on Saturday, September 28th, right at the Lockport Locks. And, you know, this is an event that has grown in popularity, Locktoberfest, that is. Each and every year, we're in our 6th year of celebrating our Erie Canal heritage here in Lockport. We encourage people to take advantage of the Erie Canal Discovery Center as a first step, and then, of course, enjoy the tremendous community farm market that Lockport Main Street operates, along with fantastic food, day-long entertainment, kids' activities. It's really a tremendous day. But 10 a.m., we'll be dedicating those new wooden lock gates and celebrating our Erie Canal heritage. And it's something for the entire community to celebrate. It's not just the Niagara County Historical Society's heritage assets, you know, that we have here in the community. And they aren't just the New York State Canal Corporations, because clearly we're very much indebted to the state of New York, the New York Power Authority, and the New York State Canal Corporation for their ownership and operation and good stewardship of our Erie Canal. But it's the Flight of Five is truly a heritage asset that this entire community owns and can take great pride in. So as we continue to move along, and hopefully we'll have plenty of momentum and public support for engaging a Phase 3 project, which is really what we hope will finalize the rehabilitation of both Locks 67 at the eastern end of the Flight of Five and Lock 71. We'd like to have this completed by 2025. 2025 will mark the 200th anniversary of the completion of the original Erie Canal, Clinton's Ditch, and we would like to celebrate that also in grand fashion with the completion of the rehabilitation of the entire Flight of Five, which we feel is very much within reach.
So for all of the people, since we stream worldwide, that live here, we know why the locks are in place. But let's explain to the people that don't live in our area, have never seen locks operate, what is the purpose of the locks?
Certainly. Do you want to?
Okay, well, it's to raise the water level. There were originally five locks, and you have to raise the water level 60 feet to the Lake Erie level. And so there were five original locks that were 12 feet deep in each one. Now you have two locks. You have locks 34 and 35 that do the same purpose. But the original locks were really innovative. There was the only one that was five locks in the whole system that were right together like that. They were had lock tenders that open and close the beams of all the different gates as it went on. It's a gravity-filled system, so it actually fills from the bottom. And the whole canal system at our end is fed from Lake Erie, so you need that level to be. And the reason was we are going over the Niagara Escarpment at this point, and then there was the deep cut beyond it. So when the canal opened in 1825, we were actually the last part of the canal to open. They were using the canal prior to that, and they were portaging around Lockport because the canal actually started its construction on July 4th of 1817. So it's because of the Niagara Escarpment, and, of course, that's the same escarpment that Niagara Falls goes over, and that escarpment runs across the state. So that was the reason.
And we invite everyone to come to Lockport and watch when a ship goes through, or a boat, whatever you would like to call it, goes through the canal, to watch that procedure. It is you're glued right there when you're watching it from one level to the next, down to the bottom where you take off and go through wide waters.
And a good way to watch that is on Saturdays. Dave can tell you that we have tours that you can take. So talk a little bit about
that. Our tours originate right from the Erie Canal Discovery Center between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Our docents are happy to provide free narrated walking tours. The Flight of Five Reconstruction Tour is our feature this year, and our trained narrators explain exactly what Melissa was just talking about, the history of not only the Erie Canal, but the history of the Lockport Locks, and in great detail what has transpired as far as the reconstruction of Locks 68, 69, and 70. So there isn't any better time to go on that tour than this Saturday and next Saturday, because our contractors are working feverishly down there to finish up the reconstruction of Lock 68, and they'll be able to have a real bird's eye view of what's exactly involved in rehabilitating these 19th century Erie Canal locks made of stone and wood.
And my hat's off to you and your crew. I happen to be enjoying an ice cream and watching the tour go by. And the people that narrate are absolutely fantastic, David. It makes you feel like they were there working on those locks at that time. That's how good that narration was.
Aren't they terrific? We're very fortunate to have so many dedicated volunteers, about 150 in total, who not only provides the narration for those walking tours, but they serve as volunteer lock tenders on Saturdays between 11:30 and 1:30. They would love to have our listeners give them a hand in pushing those balance beams. Each of those balance beams weigh 1 ton so that they can open those 5-ton wooden lock gates. But that's something that is open and available to our listeners, again, every Saturday between 11:30 and 1:30. And then, of course, the tremendous flower beds that we've got both in the locks level and on Canal Street have been maintained by our volunteer workforce. So it makes for a tremendous setting. It's a totally unique setting anywhere in the country. They have our 19th century locks as well as the currently operating 20th century Erie Barge Canal system side by side. So take advantage of it during these actually last few remaining weeks mm-hmm. of the season. The Erie Canal season technically wraps up on October 11th. So our last locks tours and demonstrations will be taking place at Locktoberfest.
So we used the term lock tender several times already today. Maybe you'd like to tell the folks, what is a lock tender? For some of us that do not know and have never seen or never been to the locks, and I urge you to give us a call, 433-1433, if you have any questions or any comments for Melissa or David today. Right now we're starting out talking about the locks, and if I'm not mistaken, the newer locks are steel, correct, and the other ones are wood.
Yes.
So you will be able to see what the wooden locks look like when they opened and closed when David's crew gets done with this in 2025. We hope all of them will be operating. So let's talk a little bit about those lock tenders.
Well, there's no person better to talk about it than one of our lock tenders, Melissa Dunlap.
I was going to say, there's actually demonstrations now. And, of course, we have the Erie Traveler, which is a Durham boat that was built at the Buffalo Maritime Museum by volunteers, a lot of them here from Lockport. And that's so that you can actually see what it would look like when a boat was locking through the original locks, the ones that we are interpreting at 1842. So there are beams connected to the lock gates on top of the lock gates, and you need lock tenders to push those beams. They weren't mechanized originally. It was manpower, and so you have people actually pushing the beams to open and close them. And then the water fills up in each lock, and it goes over the door into the next lock to fill the next lock, and then you can open wickets, which are openings at the bottom of the doors, and that's used to equalize the level of water so you can put the boat from one lock to the next. So there are still lock tenders today. It was a pay position then, and it still is today, and the lock tenders are still opening and closing the locks for the gates, and also they do the lift bridges, because we're kind of unique that we have so many lift bridges in our area also. We're just unique all the way around.
Yes, we are. And I take my hats off to you and your crew for lauding the lock tenders, because didn't you have a sculptor make those wonderful bronze?
Well, we're in the process. That's
getting it
that's
done.
In process, yep.
Correct. Sure, and I can provide a little bit of an update regarding our lock tenders tribute monument. We've engaged Susan Geisler from Lewiston, who is a tremendous artist, who also crafted both the Freedom Crossing as well as Tuscarora Heroes, life-size bronze statues in the Lewiston community. And she's done tremendous cast bronze figures throughout the country. But she is our artist who is in the process of fabricating 14 life-size cast bronze figures based upon the 1897 photo of the 12 lock tenders and the little girl seated on the very stairs in the Lockport Locks. The good news is that we're just about finished with the production of the Phase 1 first four figures in that particular piece of work. And we've been so successful with our fundraising. We've raised, just for the benefit of our listeners, over $800,000 to date out of this $1.2 million project, so that we've been able to have Susan Geisler proceed with phase two of our project, which will be another five figures. Unfortunately, the New York State Canal Corporation has been delayed in their repairs, needed repairs, on the stairway where the lock tenders are actually going to be installed and seated on those stairs in the Lockport locks. So the actual installation will not take place until sometime in 2020. But the good news is that that project is looking fantastic. It, too, will be another great addition to our heritage assets, in addition to the Locks District Museum, which opened last year at the base of Lock 67, the tremendous Locks District Gateway signage, the Riley's Way signs, which, by the way, during Locktoberfest, we're going to be dedicating two new Riley's Way signs, one of which will fully interpret, as Melissa mentioned, the Erie Traveler, our docent vessel, which is used for our LOX demonstrations presently. The second sign will interpret the LOX Tenders tribute. So we have lots to celebrate, lots of reasons for people to join us at Locktoberfest this year, which, by the way, our entertainment is headlined by Lockport's own Dave Stockton and his group Pocket Change from 9 until 11, performing at our Locktoberfest stage right in the Canal Street parking lot. From 11 until 1, we'll have Celtic Spirit and Pipe Band. From 1 until 3, will be Pine Fever. And then we'll close out the day with Tom Kiefer and Celtic Cross from 3 until 5 o'clock. So tremendous entertainment throughout the day.
We're going to take our first break of the day. You are listening to Niagara County's Great History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.
When it comes to physical rehab, you want to get back into your life as soon as possible, and Elderwood at Lockport can help. They make it easy for you to pre-schedule your short-term rehab stay. They'll take care of everything, including verifying your insurance information. They'll work one-on-one with your physician to get you home sooner, but more importantly, get you back to your quality of life. Let Elderwood of Lockport help you recover from your recent hospital stay with individual treatment. To schedule a tour or to learn more, call 434-6324 or visit elderwood.com.
Hi, this is Mike Landers, owner of Howell Motors Ford and Wright's Corners. Listen for my team calling into the Paul Oates Show Monday through Friday. I'm also excited to announce a campaign for a newer, nicer vehicle. So when you or a friend are ready for a newer, nicer vehicle, stop in and see us at Howell Motors Ford, 6488 Ridge Road in Lockport, or call us at 433-1800. We've been satisfying customers for over 100 years. Howell Motors Ford, where friends send friends.
The WLVL sports team travels to Pendleton Friday, September the 13th, when the Star Point football Spartans host the Williamsville South Phillies. The game will be taped delay broadcast on Saturday, September the 14th at 10 a.m. and will be brought to you in part by Ridge Road Express, Skirdo's Awards and Gifts, and Cornerstone Community Federal Credit Union. Join me, Norm Palmer, and John Greco for all the action on 1340 AM and 105.3 FM.
What are you looking for in a dentist? If you're looking for a comprehensive care provider for the whole family, then Dr. Kaplansky is the right dentist for you. They want to help you along the path to better health, and each member of their friendly professional staff will treat you with the respect that you deserve. Call Dr. Kaplansky for your dental needs today, 772-8632. Ask about teeth tomorrow, a superior solution to traditional dental implants. You can achieve the smile you deserve. Dentistry by Dr. Kaplansky in Gasport, 772-8632.
Welcome back to Niagara County's Great History Show. In the studio with me, David Kenyon, and, of course, Melissa Dunlap, the Executive Director of the History Center. Okay, talking about the locks, and if you would like to reiterate the entertainment that we're going to have there, I sort of rushed you along on our break, David.
Yeah, that's on Locktoberfest.
And Locktoberfest, again, will take place on Saturday, September 28th from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. right on Canal Street. In addition to having lots of activities right down in the locks level, we'll be having day-long entertainment on our Locktoberfest stage, a bigger and better community market all along Canal Street, and lots of kids' activities. Craft beers and Niagara wines will be celebrating a lot of what makes Niagara County a special place. So from 9 until 11 a.m. that morning, Dave Stockton and Pocket Change will be performing. From 11 until 1, We'll welcome Celtic Spirit and Pipe Band. From 1 until 3 o'clock, we'll feature Pine Fever. And from 3 until 5 o'clock, we'll close out the day with Tom Kiefer and Celtic Cross.
Good morning. Welcome to Niagara County's History Show. You're on. Go ahead.
I have a question about the Flight of Five. Has the funding been secured for the complete restoration of the Flight of Five?
No, it has not. That's an excellent question. We've been very fortunate up until now to have received significant grants from both the state and federal governments, and we've been able to demonstrate the tremendous attraction that we have here with the Lockport Locks and the Erie Canal Flight of Five. So the ability to convince our fellow stakeholders at the state and federal government is certainly enhanced because of the success that we've had, but we're now looking at the two most expensive locks, quite honestly, to rehabilitate. Both Lock 67 and 71 have bridge structures that are essential to the continued operation and maintenance of the barge canal locks. So those bridge structures are adding significantly to the cost of this final phase. So we're in constant communication with our colleagues at both the state and federal governments, who've been very pleased with the progress to date, and so we're hopeful that we're going to be able to secure that funding in a reasonably short period of time, so that again we can close out this project and celebrate the rehabilitation of the entire Flight of Five by 2025.
Well, I think it's a worthy project, and I hope you're successful in its completion.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. You know, in addition to the capital monies that are needed for the actual reconstruction, let me just talk about the business side of our locks district for a minute, too. It costs us approximately $40,000 to $50,000 a year to carry out our organization's commitment to operate, maintain, and promote these Erie Canal Flight of Five locks. So we do yearly scheduled maintenance on these wooden lock gates. And the masonry that the stone masonry that are so essential and become so attractive as part of the attraction that we have here with the Erie Canal Flight of Five. I can't say enough about our local business community, which yearly contributes between $25,000 and $30,000 a year in sponsorship fees and outright donations to enable our locks district to be able to carry out its responsibility of maintaining and operating these Erie Canal Flight of Five locks. So we talk a lot about the partnerships that have been so essential from the beginning in making this heritage attraction such a success. And it all begins, of course, with the Niagara County Historical Society and its Erie Canal Discovery Center. But our colleagues with the New York State Canal Corporation, Destination Niagara, which provides a lot of the promotion and marketing that goes into attracting people to all of Lockport's heritage attractions, as well as our partners, also with, of course, the historic Lockport Mill Race and the other not-for-profit organizations like Lockport Main Street that do so much to make Lockport a tremendous community and to be able to celebrate our Erie Canal heritage.
Okay, Melissa?
Okay, well, I was doing research on horses, and it was very interesting. I found out that there were actually horse holes down near the locks and also in the deep cut, because occasionally a horse or mules, the team would step off right into the canal, and so they were able to retrieve the animals by getting them through these horse holes and getting them back up onto the towpath and leading them, you know, on to continue on their business. Unfortunately, not all of the horses or mules survived, but they had a good percentage, and that was something that I had never researched before. So I found that kind of interesting. But I think now Saturday I'm going to be a tour guide for the Locks Heritage District. And I had a family the last time I helped that was very interested in canals and had visited canals all along the United States, and they had actually done some in Europe. And it's just amazing how interested people are in what is going on here. We just are trying so hard to advertise it and let people know what we have to offer because we're such a unique venue. And people can participate. They can take the tours. I mean, they can take the boat ride. They can take the cave tour. There's so many interesting things here. And that's really the whole goal, is to get people to come here and then stay overnight and stay in a hotel and eat meals here and take advantage of the attractions. And we really want people to realize that Lockport has so much to offer. I know you hear a lot about Canal Side down in Buffalo, but I feel we have just as much or more here.
We have real Erie Canal here in Lockport. You know, I keep on reminding people about that. And one of the elements that we can point with pride to, and everyone in this community can be so proud about, is that we are continuing every year to improve our product. Mm-hmm. Our heritage tourism product is improving each and every year. And it's not just with the completion of this Phase 2 project on the Erie Canal Flight of Five Locks. Take a look at the success of our colleagues at Historic Lockport Mill Race. They were just awarded a significant grant as part of the Downtown Revitalization Initiative. And the improvements that you're going to be seeing them make in the vicinity of Old City Hall and Spalding Mill are really going to enhance this tourism product that we have to offer to visitors. And, another significant partner are the people behind the annual Niagara Celtic Festival, which is coming up this weekend. They, too, are celebrating the special heritage that we have here in Western New York with this two-day event. It'll be taking place this year at the Niagara County Fairgrounds. They've moved the location, which had been so successful, at the Niagara County's Crawl Park in Alcott. But this event will take place both Saturday from 10 a.m. until 10:30 p.m., as well as on Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. But again, that simply, again, enhances the overall product that we have to offer people of this community as well as from the surrounding region.
Yeah, I was told they outgrew Crawl Park. They needed more space, so that's why they moved it to the fairgrounds, and it's supposed to be a fantastic show this year.
It is.
And I would urge people to call in 433-1433 if you have any questions or any comments about the Erie Canal. And my claim to fame with the Erie Canal was I played ball in Dudley Square up at the top of the hill, and when you go down to the bottom of the hill to the canal, the only thing I knew about the canal for sure was the towpath, because I had learned, of course, in growing up in this area, that mules actually pulled the barges down the Erie Canal. They had tugs coming in, but before that it was the mules, and they called it the towpath.
Yep.
And when I was a kid growing up, the towpath was still there. I mean, it wasn't that far from when the mules brought it down. And I think that is one of the things that fascinated me, that mules actually pulled the barges down the canal.
Yeah. And horses.
And Melissa's
towpath.
Horses,
yep.
With the horse holes.
Right. And speaking of the towpath, which we now call the Canalway Trail, it being a multi-use recreational facility for bikers, hikers, and others. But the last remaining segment here in Western New York of uncompleted trail in Pendleton has now been completed. And the day before Locktoberfest, Friday, September 27th, again, our listeners are welcome and encouraged to join us in celebrating the completion of that Pendleton section of the Canalway Trail. People who bike, especially bike the Canalway Trail throughout upstate New York, tell me that this section that we have here from Lockport to Buffalo Niagara Heritage Village right across Tonawanda Creek in Erie County is the most beautiful section of Canalway Trail. It's been designed beautifully. You are right next to the water, right next to the Erie Canal, and it's a tremendously enjoyable bike ride, hiking area, and again, another part of the improved product that we are offering visitors, along with our commercial operations, Lockport Locks and Erie Canal Cruises, the Lockport Cave and Underground Boat Ride, and of course, the Niagara Zipper. We have a tremendous set and variety of attractions around our Erie Canal.
We're going to take our second set of breaks. We'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to High School. You are listening to the Niagara County History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.
Take it easy.
You too. Thanks. On my ride in this morning, I cross-checked three spreadsheets, commented nicely on the sales report, answered six emails, two yeses, three nos, and didn't we cover this in the last meeting? Filled out a field trip permission form for my son so he won't be sitting alone in the office while his whole class goes to the aquarium. And read half an article on relaxation. It's a good thing I wasn't driving. I was on the bus. I call it Metrotasking.
Metrotasking. You know, doing the stuff you can't do when you drive. With Metro Bus and Rail, you can get where you're going and get some other things done, too. Your first task? Check out NFTA.com. It has everything you need to get you started. Schedules, maps, and apps for planning your commute and letting you know when the next bus or train arrives. Come on, you could be a Metro Tasker, too.
Come celebrate the traditions and pageantry of all things Celtic. It's the 19th annual Niagara Celtic Heritage Festival and Highland Games, this year being held at the Niagara County Fairgrounds, Saturday, September 14th, 10 a.m. to 10:30 p.m., and Sunday the 15th, 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. There'll be artisans and craftsmen, a parade, free pony rides, cannon firings and arms demonstrations, athletic challenges with the Highland Games, plenty of live music, food and drink, and this year the dog performances are back. Tickets start at $13 and up. Kids 12 and under are free. To learn more, go to NiagaraCeltic.com.
Since 1991, Great Lakes Surgical Associates has been the top surgical practice in the area. Doctors Hodge and Schratz are board certified, and they've lived in the community for over 20 years. At their state-of-the-art suite, they offer general surgical procedures, endoscopies, and colonoscopies. Great Lakes Surgical Associates, 160 East Avenue, Lockport, the only certified facility in eastern Niagara County. For the most cost-effective option in all of western New York, call 434-6141 or visit greatlakesurgery.com.
Welcome back to Niagara County's Great History Show. Melissa Dunlap, David Kenyon in the studio with me this morning. Good morning. You're on Niagara County's Great History Show. You are on.
Good morning. How are you all?
Good.
I just thought I'd bring some attention to a point that you just made, that the last part of the canal is going to be finished up, but there's another section that is not finished for cyclists and hikers, and that's in Middleport. From the west, village line to the lift bridge, either right on the edge of the concrete or you're right in the grass. And there's a couple spots, there's some mud holes in that. And when you get to the lift bridge, the bridge operator's state car and personal car block the path, so people got to find their way down onto the street and find their way back on the canal bank. And that's something that probably should be addressed, but I don't know, it just seems to fall on deaf ears.
Well, and of course, maintenance is an ongoing issue with any kind of public improvement like that. And the Canal Corporation is pretty aggressive about making sure that any areas that have been subject to closure are improved and reopened as soon as possible. So, yeah, I'll personally have to check up on that and find out the status of that.
All right.
Thank you very much for your call. We got the man right here, and I guarantee if anything can be done, David Kenyon will get it done.
One thing I was going to mention, too, is I don't know if people are aware that two of the gates that are used to drain the canal are in our area, one in Pendleton near Fiegel Road, you know, the bridge that goes over from Fiegel to East Canal. And then the other one is in Gasport. You can see it from the bridge at Heartland, but I don't know exactly, you know. But those are lowered when they drain the canal in October. And then, of course, because you're feeding the canal from Lake Erie, when they close the one in Pendleton, then they can start to drain the system going east. But it's interesting because we've had visitors come to the museum in the winter who were actually livid because the canal was drained. You know, it's amazing how people don't do any research before they come to visit as to hours, what's open, what's not open. But I mean, we had two ladies that were just, I mean, they were just furious with me, like I drained it myself. You know, so it's just because we live here, and the reason they do drain it is because it still is earthen banks. And if they left the water in and it went through the freezing and thawing cycle, it would break down the banks. And there's enough problems with the banks with animals burrowing into it. And, you know, sometimes there's small collapses along the towpath. So that's the reason that they do. And it's also the time that they can do maintenance. Unfortunately, things get pushed into the canal, and that's their chance to take them out. So that's something that is kind of unique to our area also, is that we have these two gates that are used to help drain the canal in the fall.
Your one comment about not knowing what's going on in this area. How can they get a hold of the History Center for Melissa
Dunlap?
They can
call the museum at 434-7433. We're not experts in everything, but we know how to look things up.
So. Now, the History Center is open year-round?
It's open year-round. We're open 9 to 5, Monday through Saturday. So the Discovery Center at Canal Street, well, it's at 24 Church Street and Ontario, is open every day until October 31st, and then it goes on to a winter schedule from November through April, and it's open then on Friday and Saturday from 10 to 3.
And for you folks that would like to drive and come from the south, you take Route 78 north until you get to Main Street, and you will be within walking distance. You will get to the big bridge, and you might want to mention about the big bridge because there's a sign that says it's one of the widest bridges in the world.
It was the widest bridge in the world at one point, but it isn't any longer. But I don't think people realize that City Hall and some of the buildings are actually on the bridge. So I think they think that that little path that you go between the railing and the fire department is the big bridge, but no, it goes all the way to transit. And sometimes when you're on transit and there's a lot of traffic, you can feel it a little bit because you're, you know, at the edge of the bridge at that point. So I don't think people really are aware that there's actually buildings on that bridge. Because it's so wide. It's 380 some feet wide.
And speaking of the span and the expanse of the canal in downtown Lockport, too, you know, we mentioned earlier some of the other partner organizations that are so integral to the Locks District and making sure that we continue to make improvements in our heritage fabric here in Lockport. But at the western end of those bridge spans is the Triway Bridge, of course. And we really should remember and recognize the efforts of Cookie Butcher, mm-hmm. a local resident, and her team of volunteers that renovated the Triway Bridge display last year with the canal tender boat. And had that area beautified significantly. It's once again become a great asset. And right at the entryway to Lockport and downtown Lockport and the Locks District Corridor. So thank you. You know, and again, those particular individuals have taken a lot of money out of their own pockets. Businesses donated to that effort also without any expectation of being recognized and thanked. So thank you to those particular individuals and organizations and the many other organizations that help contribute to Lockport's beauty. The Lockport Parks and Flower Tenders are a big contributor also.
And volunteerism is really important, and we're lucky that we have so many volunteers in Lockport that really work to keep everything beautiful and working. And I know at the museum we could not do half of what we do if we did not have the volunteers, and the same with the flower gardens and the tour guides, the volunteer lock tenders. These are all people that really are interested in seeing Lockport be a significant heritage location. So and there are opportunities to volunteer still. If it's something that you're interested in, you could call the museum at 434-7433, and I can direct you to Dave or other people who are organizing the volunteers. So if it's something that you think you would like to do, you know, we're always welcome to hear from new volunteers. And it's just an important part of community. And it's getting a little tougher with both husbands and wives working now. That's usually in mostly two-income families now. So you need to groom the younger generation. And then I have also found that, you know, I volunteered my whole life because my mother volunteered her whole life. And then some of my children volunteer because I made them volunteer when they were young. Whether they wanted to or not, they did a lot of volunteering. And they still do in community organizations and other things. And it's... But you didn't have to have a family that did volunteering to volunteer yourself. You could start the tradition. So that's important, too.
When the lady called in and asked about the last phase being not
fully funded.
Ready funded yet, mm-hmm. Is there a way individuals can donate to finishing this project, or is it just corporations?
Well, thank you very much for bringing that up, Norm. As a matter of fact, individuals are contributing in a significant way. Every week we have a raffle underway sponsored by Mills Jewelers right at our Lax District booth on Canal Street as part of the community market. Those people are contributing significantly towards our goal of installing the Lock Tender Tribute Monument. Every year we've raised significant dollars from that raffle, and this year Mills Jewelers has been generous enough to offer a $500 gift card that will be raffling off on Locktoberfest. But every week, every Saturday at the market, people are supporting that. As far as individual contributions to rehabilitating our Erie Canal locks, quite honestly, community-based foundations have been supportive, but we really haven't come up with a method for individuals to participate. Our expectation is that once we get the Flight of Five fully rehabilitated, because of the need for ongoing maintenance and operation and promotion, we will be developing a program to solicit individuals to support that effort on an ongoing basis.
Okay, Melissa?
Well, I'm trying to think. What else would you like to know? I am really encouraged. I mean, I started at the museum 29 years ago when really nothing was going on down at the locks. And it's just so encouraging that each year it just gets better and better and better, and more people are interested and more people are aware. I know there's still a lot of people who aren't aware that what is going on at the locks or anything, but I think as there's more activity, it's coming to the forefront more and more, and people are talking about it. And even the community market has been a great asset to Lockport, and Lockport Main Street has been very good about running that. Mm-hmm. And it also promotes, it's a chance for local musicians to play. It's for the local farmers that are promoting their products, and it's a chance for the whole community to come together. And there is a whole movement across the country of this farm to table, and this is the perfect example of how to do it. You can go to the community market on Saturday. You can buy your produce. You can buy fresh bread. You can buy cheese and meat. They have all sorts of things there. And you can go home and you can make your weekend dinners right out of the stuff that you got from local vendors. And there's a lot to be said about that, that you're supporting your local community.
So, David, if I heard you correctly, we are the only locks in the entire canal that has a five-lock system when you get completed, correct?
There is another set of five locks in the very eastern section of the New York State Canal system. Those are a series of five barge canal locks near Waterford, and they, too, are referred to as a Flight of Five. However, our Erie Canal Flight of Five locks are from the 19th century. They are locks that were constructed from stone and wood, and they are the original Erie Canal.
Okay.
They are Erie Canal Flight of Five
Plus,
locks.
The ones in Waterford are, there's a distance between each lock.
Yes.
You know, where ours are consecutive.
You would have to have a boat to be able to get to each of those Erie Canal locks. But as Melissa said, you know, I mean, right in here in Lockport, I mean, you can see all five of the locks immediately contiguous to each other. So it's unparalleled.
Yeah, it's a different system.
Okay, we got about 6 minutes left. Let's recap all of the activities.
We did want to mention one more thing. The Adam Street Bridge. Wanted to mention that we're so fortunate that we have these lift bridges because they are unique along the canal. And the Adam Street Bridge has been in an upward position for quite a while. And we are working with authorities and trying to get it so that they will maintain it and hopefully use it because it's 100 years old and so is the Exchange Street Bridge. They were built within a year of each other.
Yes.
And we're really interested in trying to save the Adams Street Bridge. So that is an ongoing issue, and we are talking to Senator Ort and people in the state trying to bring that to the forefront so that we can fight to have that bridge reinstated and maintained. So I think that that's another important issue that we're looking at.
Okay, let's recap what's going on at the History Center coming up in the next month.
Okay, so on Sunday, we are having a Cemetery Tales tour at the Cold Spring Cemetery. It's at 1 o'clock. I will be there. I'm also a tour guide for the Lockport Heritage District Saturday at 11, because I don't say no very much. And that is a really nice tour. We're going to have five different historic characters, and they will tell their lives as residents of this cemetery, and it lasts about 2 hours. You are walking through a cemetery, so you do need to wear comfortable shoes, and if you can't sit for the 15 minutes or so of the presentations before we move on to the next person, you're welcome to take, you know, a little folding stool or chair, and you can sit down and listen. The next one we have is the Family Night on September 17th. We're going to be talking about the Underground Railroad in Niagara County, sites of the Follow the Drinking Gourd, which is a children's book that talks about the Underground Railroad. And we will end that evening by making a map of the locations that had sites along Niagara County. And we're also going to talk a little bit about there's a little bit of controversy over how these sites were advertised, but we won't get into that. But it's really an interesting thing. We have pizza. It's family. And you don't have to have a family to come. If you're interested in the subject matter, just come. But from 5:30 to 6, we have pizza by donation. And then the program is from 6 to 6:30. Then we do the activity from 6:30 to 7. And we're out of there between 7 and 7:15. So if you have children with you, you can get them home and get them to bed because it is a school night. It's a Tuesday. We have reservations for that, 434-7433. Our speaker for this month will be Ray Weigel, and he is talking about the International Bridges in Niagara County. And that is on, well, it's on a Thursday. So let me see if I can find it. Okay. So it's September 26th, and it's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It will be a PowerPoint presentation, but it should be pretty interesting. I know we spent over a year researching all of the different changes in the bridges, and we'll talk about that. Then on October 19th, we are taking a bus trip, and we are going to the Seneca Museum in Salamanca. But first, we're going to have lunch at the Holiday Valley treat, the ski resort, and that's in Ellicottville. So we'll be leaving Lockport at 10. We'll be returning at 6, and you need reservations for that. That's 434-7433. And with the bus trips, everything is included. We even include the bus tip for the driver. So the only thing money you would have to have beyond your ticket for the bus trip would be if you were going to buy something in the gift shop. We have another program. Oh, we have the Oktoberfest, and that's on October 5th. That will be at the fairgrounds, and Don Eich is doing the food. It's German food. She does a really nice job. The band is the Frankfurters, and they are really good. If you've never heard them, I mean, they are just a wonderful German band. They have the Alpine horns. They play the saws, but they just play great music. They're a really nice group of men, and we have a hard time getting a date for them every year because they play all over New York. So their motto is they're the best of the worst. So they are really great, and you can get reservations for that by calling the museum at 434-7433. And I think that's
about 30 seconds, David, if you'd like to have a thought or two to close it out.
Join us September 28th, Saturday, in the Lockport Locks for 6th Annual Locktoberfest, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. We'd love to see everybody there to celebrate not only our Erie Canal heritage, but the completion of Phase 2 of the Lockport Locks rehabilitation.
With the enthusiasm that the two people have in the studio today, come on down and visit the locks and visit Lockport and all that is happening. Norm Palmer is saying good morning. You've been listening to the Niagara County Great History Show on 1340 AM, 105.3 FM.